The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning again. One of my favorite childhood memories is one morning that I spent with my dad when I was very little. I don't know, 8 or 9 maybe. We'd gotten up very, very early, so early that it was barely light. And when we got to the river, which is where we were going, the mist was curling off the surface of the water like magic. And we set ourselves up beside this old steel bridge that spanned the river, and we baited our hooks and we settled in to wait. There was a kingfisher sitting on the top span of the bridge, I remember, and as we watched him, he dived into the water and caught a fish for his breakfast. I don't think we caught very many fish that morning, but I will never forget standing there with my dad watching awestruck as that kingfisher dived into the river. I remember so many details about that morning. I remember the way the reel sounded, spinning out the line as I cast it. I remember the little red and white plastic bobber that floated over the place where my line was. I remember my great excitement when my bobber disappeared and I thought I had the tug of a fish on my line, and mostly it was just a false alarm and I ended up reeling in a slimy hunk of weed or a stick, but I was excited every time just the same. I remember the feeling that we were the only people awake in the whole world. I remember all the strange and mysterious things in my dad's tackle box, and I remember the smell of my dad's cigarettes mixed with the damp, fishy smell of the river. I remember the fog and the chill of the air and the early morning song of the frogs and the birds. But more than anything else, I remember on that morning, I remember just being with my dad. Back in Jesus' day, of course, fishing wasn't a hobby that accountants and their little girls did. It was a way of life. In fishing villages like Capernaum and Bethsaida, the occupation of fishing wasn't a career that you choose when you grow up. It was passed down from generation to generation. Men like Peter and Andrew and James and John grew up on the sea. They grew up cleaning the nets and tending to the boats side by side with their fathers, practically from the time they could walk or talk. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him, when he told them they were going to learn to become a new kind of fishermen, he was calling them into a new career, a whole new life of learning by watching and doing, like the life they had known as fishermen, as sons of fishermen. And that meant that Jesus was calling them to leave an awful lot behind. those four men walked away from everything they had known and prepared for from the time they were born. They left behind their fathers, who had always expected that their sons would work by their sides until they were too old to go out in the boat themselves, who had always assumed that these sons of theirs would carry on the family business, that they would continue to support the family in the same way that they had carried on from their own fathers before them. It's hard to even imagine what an enormous thing it was for Peter and Andrew and James and John to turn their backs on their nets and their boats and their fathers and the expectations of their families and to follow Jesus. Following Jesus can be very disruptive. The kind of churchy word that we use, disciple, sounds kind of technical and theological, but it really just means a person that tags along after someone and learns from them by watching and listening and working alongside them. James and John and were disciples of their father Zebedee long before they were disciples of Jesus, because they grew up learning all about weather and boats and nets, just working alongside their father. All those little Amish boys that we see out in the fields leading teams of enormous Belgian horses or helping their dads load hay into the barn. All those little Amish girls that we see caring for baby sisters and brothers or tending the garden with their moms. They are disciples of their parents. I was a disciple of my dad in a very small way when we went fishing together. But now we, all of us here, all of us gathered together, are disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's not because we go to church and read the Bible and know things about God and obey the Ten Commandments. It's because we've been called to follow Him. It's because we've been called to walk in His footsteps. It's because we've been called to learn to do His work. We're His disciples when we work hard to make our hands and our hearts move like His do, when we focus all our mind and our strength and our heart on learning from Him what's important, what is good, what is right. And that also means that we've been called to leave behind a lot of other demands and expectations that our lives and ourselves and the world have put upon us. This year, it's the second in the 3-year cycle in the lectionary, and we're going to read through the Gospel of Mark. And as we read through Mark, we read about the life and ministry of Jesus. And we also read about the discipleship of His friends, how they learn from Jesus to be fishers of men, which means just becoming people who were so much like Jesus that they drew people into the kingdom like He did. Everywhere Jesus went, people came running because there was just something about Him. There was some delicious scent of the kingdom of God that drew them in, like the smell of new bread, fresh and hot from the oven, draws hungry people in. There was something in Jesus that made people hunger and thirst for this new abundant life that He had come to offer them. And as they followed Him, the disciples were learning to have that same wonderful scent to draw people into the kingdom, just as Jesus did. In his opening remarks to the Executive Council of the Episcopal Church this past Friday, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, was talking about the way the church in America too often has followed a way that doesn't look like the Jesus that we meet in the Gospels. And he said this, "I want to submit that if it doesn't look like Jesus, if it doesn't walk like Jesus, if it doesn't smell like Jesus, if it doesn't talk like Jesus, it isn't Christian. If it does not have the ring of love, it's not Christian." And as we read through the Gospel this year in Mark, week by week, I'd like us to try to keep our eyes on Jesus with that kind of attention that we give to something that we really want to learn. It's so easy to read the familiar stories year after year, over and over, until they just become a part of our mental furniture, which is good, but then sometimes we don't notice them anymore. But if we pay attention to Jesus the way a woodcarver pays attention to a master carpenter making a new kind of joint that he wants to learn, the way an intern watches a surgeon perform a delicate operation, if we would give Jesus that kind of wholehearted attention, then we would be learning to be his disciples so we can begin to look and walk and smell and talk like Jesus, so that our lives will begin to have the ring of his love. There was so much for the disciples to learn from Jesus. It was all new, everything. Mark tells how they watched Jesus reach out to touch someone that had leprosy, how they could see that he wasn't disgusted by him, he wasn't afraid of his horrible disease, and then suddenly they saw that the man was well. They saw how Jesus condemned the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of their day, men that the disciples had been taught to respect. But he saw how Jesus despised that attitude of caring about rules and regulations more than compassion and mercy. It was all new. Mark tells how Jesus talked with people that the disciples thought he had no business talking to, like women and Samaritan women. Mark tells how the disciples saw Jesus bring the dead back to life, how he told a violent storm to calm down, and it did, how he cast demons out of a wild man. They saw him give sight to blind men. They saw him hug the little children who were brought to him. They got to help him. They got to do it, to help him feed thousands of people with a few loaves and a couple of fish. And it was all part of the disciples' training, this Fishers of Men apprenticeship program. And all it was walking side by side with Jesus, watching and listening and learning. And that's how Peter and James and Andrew and John and all the rest of his disciples became the men that they became, men who drew people from all over the known world into the kingdom, like a great net cast into the sea, to become the beginnings of the worldwide family of God that now we are a part of. And as we read these stories, as we put the words and teachings of Jesus into practice in our own lives, as we experience his presence with us in the now, in reality, not just long ago, not by our own efforts, but in company with his Spirit, we are growing into the people that he created us to be. Disciples of Jesus Christ, fishers of men and women and children in our own time and our own place and in our own way. But the best and the really, really the most important part of being a disciple is this: we get to hang out with our dad. Because to follow Jesus is first and foremost living and moving and have our being with the Father. The very first verse in Mark's gospel is this: the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as we go on learning to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we can't help but notice that everything Jesus did flowed out of his relationship with his Father. From beginning to end, the life of Jesus was all about serving the Father, doing the work of his Father, making his Father known, bringing the love of the Father right down into our midst and drawing us up into the Father's heart. Discipleship is just that process of us growing up. We're never done growing up, no matter how old we are. And Jesus has invited us, he's called us to leave everything else behind. He's disrupted our lives so that we can grow up by the side of the one who knows and loves us best of all. Amen.
Amen.